and verse 10. It says here, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Everybody say, "Be strong in the Lord." Now, we should take courage from that. Because some of us here today, we don't exactly feel strong in ourselves. We don't exactly feel like we can do it on our own. It says, "Be strong in the Lord." I could just stop and just preach on that. A lot of us trying to do stuff in our own strength, we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of... Everybody say, "His might." Not our own strength, in His strength. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When you have no strength, it's in the power of His might, not ours, His might. Amen. It says, and then put on the whole armor of God. Remember, whole, not part, whole, not half, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks of the devil. How many people know that he is a wily devil sometimes? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, everybody say whole, armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And this is how we're going to do it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, we learned last week, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all, everybody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked. Now let's stop there. Those fiery darts. You know, you've seen in those old movies, they would fire those flaming arrows over the city walls, wouldn't they? They weren't hoping to kill anybody. They were just trying to cause some havoc in the city. And sometimes the devil would want to fire some flaming arrows over the walls of your life just to cause some havoc in the city. So we take the shield of faith, that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. And today we focus on, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, speak to us through your word today, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I love this scripture. Just studying this simple portion of scripture that we learned in Sunday school many times about the armor of God. But when you read about the armor of God, you come to the realization, Brother Rob, that we've been set up for victory. We have been set up for victory. There is no reason that we should be defeated because we have the armor of God. Now, living a Christian life, and especially in this world, will not happen by accident. You don't just kind of get up in the morning and find yourself being a Christian. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize I'm a Christian. How did this happen? You know, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm worshiping the Lord. How on earth did this happen? No, it doesn't happen by accident. And this is what this series is all about, is that if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we're going to have to put on the armor of God. And by putting on the armor of God, we have been set up to win. We have been set up to be victorious. Now, although practicing Christianity may be simple, it's not easy. It's not easy. Why is it not easy? I mean, it's the Christian lifestyle. Why is it not easy? And the reason that being a Christian is not easy is because the alternatives look so attractive. It's not that the Christian life is hard. No, it's just the alternatives seem to distract us. You see, when the alternative is feasting, fasting is very difficult. When the alternative is pleasure, then pain seems oppressive. Who wants pain? when I could have pleasure? When the alternative is playing, then praying can become very wearisome. So the main thing that we face in the Christian life is that we look at the alternatives and we see such attractiveness in them. And we get lured away by the alternatives. In fact, these alternatives have become so popular that have led many to proclaim a new Christianity. This is a new Christianity where it's just new. It's not better. It's just a lot easier. So now you can be a Christian and you can do whatever you want. Just call yourself a Christian. So this new Christianity is not more powerful. It's just less demanding. You know, it's a lot less demanding, and the alternatives, you can have all the alternatives and still call yourself a Christian. So I encourage you today to beware of lesser forms of faith. Beware of lesser forms of faith. Beware of people who want to water down the Bible. Beware of people who want to water down the gospel. Beware of people that would teach you that it's okay to compromise as a Christian, because that is not the case. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, he said, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." And it says, "have nothing to do with them." So this lesson, this series, Armed and Ready, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through to 18, about putting on the armor of God. A lot of this is just about discipline. Discipline. Everybody say discipline. Prayer is about discipline. Reading the Word of God is about discipline. It's all about discipline. And it's funny that so much of the Christian walk should be about discipline, because being a Christian is being a disciple. And the word disciple sounds a lot like discipline to me. So basically, to be a Christian, it doesn't happen automatically. You're going to have discipline. Everybody say discipline. So as I said 2 weeks ago, I said this. I said, I just want to tell some people, if just for 30 days you could live the proper Christian life, just 30 days, you know, for 30 days pray. For 30 days, read your Bible. For 30 days, be in the house of God. For 30 days, avoid those evil things and those evil stuff on TV and the evil influences. Avoid all of them for 30 days, just 30 days. I feel like getting some people and saying, just try it for 30 days and see if your life will not be better. Just try it. And don't worry, because if after 30 days your life isn't better, you can go back to the mess. It's a mess back guarantee. After 30 days, the mess will be waiting. You can go back to your old lifestyle, back to the old things. If after 30 days you're not happy, you can go back. It's a mess back guarantee. Amen? So, the spiritual armor. Next slide there. We are in a spiritual battle. Brother Morty, next slide. We're in a spiritual battle. And we would be foolish to be fighting a spiritual battle without spiritual armor. And God has given us this spiritual armor. And how foolish would it be to go into a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor? Now, a few things to remember, been reinforcing them each week. Number one, we are strangers and pilgrims. We are just passing through. We have 70, maybe 80 years on this earth, but we are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are just a passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims. Heaven is our goal. We are on our way to heaven. So some of us need to loosen our grip on the things down here. Next thing to remind you of is that if we are going to be in the world but not of the world, it's going to be a fight. If we're going to live in this world as Christians without letting the world get in us, it's going to be a spiritual fight. It's spiritual warfare. And we must remember that Jesus is coming back for a bride, the Bible says, without spot or wrinkle. But it doesn't say that we won't have scars or wounds. How many people know that sometimes we pick up scars and wounds along the way? Because it's a battle. This spiritual walk, this Christian walk is a battle. Now, we read that scripture before that talked about the wiles of the devil. Wily. Anyone, there's one animal they say that's very wily, and it's a fox. Wily, you know, sneaky and all sorts of schemes. Wily. The devil is very wily. And while his attacks may be subtle, they're not like, you know, 9/11, or they're not like, you know, some sort of terrorist attack or anything like that. While the attacks of the devil may be subtle, they are just as dangerous and just as lethal. So we need to have on the armor of God. Next slide there, Brother Morty. The sword of the Spirit and prayer. So it goes through all of these pieces of armor from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It goes through all the armor of God. And then at the end it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
It says for us to pray for our brothers and sisters. Now, we need, listen to me carefully, we need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of you say, well, I got enough problems in my own life, let alone pray for someone else. No, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. And I was thinking about this. There's nothing more beautiful that you could say to me as a pastor than to tell me that you're praying for me. It's one of the greatest things you could do for your pastor or for someone else is to tell them that you were praying for them. And I appreciate those people in this church that tell me they call my name in prayer every day. You see, you could do no greater thing for me as your pastor than to pray for me. But let's go back one. The sword of the Spirit. Next slide, Brother Morty. The sword of the Spirit is the most lethal offensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. Everyone say offensive.
Offensive.
Now, some might say you can use that shield as a weapon. You could use that belt as a weapon. They might even say you could use that breastplate as a weapon, but the sword is a lethal offensive weapon. It is designed for attack. Everybody say attack.
Attack.
The sword of the Spirit is designed for winning the victory. We are expected, now listen to me carefully today, we are expected to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are expected to use it. We are expected to use the sword of the Spirit. Now, one thing you must remember with a weapon is that you can hurt yourself with a weapon if you don't know how to use it properly. And while it might be there for you to win the victory, if you don't know how to use it properly, it can hurt you. And that's why we teach about the Bible here. We teach you how to study the Bible. We teach those things here because you can hurt yourself with a weapon if you don't know how to use it. And you can't go out into battle without knowing how to use your weapon. So, we are given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we are expected to use it. Amen? We are expected to use it. Every born-again Christian has the ability to overcome Satan's kingdom through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And defense alone is not enough. Defense alone is not enough. Just having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, all of those things, the belt of truth, just defense alone is not enough. Now, I hear in football sometimes they say that when a team wins the game is that they won it on their defense. It was their defense that won them the game. Well, kind of, I see what they're saying, but I don't completely agree, because to win the game, you actually have to have some offense. Maybe the defense made way for the offense. So as Christians, we are expected to use the sword of the Spirit. We are expected to get our teeth into the Word of God. Defense is not enough. We must get our teeth, we must get our hands onto the sword of the Spirit. Just protecting yourself is not enough. There are times when we need to attack the enemy. There are times when you have to get on the offense. It's not enough to just defend. So in fighting for your family, we talked about the family today in the dedication service. In fighting for your family, there are times when you've got to do something. You're going to have to get that sword out, because fighting your family for your family is going to take more than just defense. We must get offensive, and it starts with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, Luke chapter 4. Please turn there in your Bible. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through to 13. And Jesus himself used the Word of God. Luke chapter 4. Verses 1 through to 13, it says this. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Wow. Stop there for a second. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I have a lot of people come to me and say, "Why am I experiencing a wilderness experience? I got the Holy Ghost." I mean, Jesus himself was full of the Holy Ghost, and he had a wilderness experience. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness. So don't be surprised when you have a wilderness experience. Goes on to say, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did not eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." Now, the devil asks a question. Everyone say questions. Satan's favorite tool is questions. Questions, trying to undermine what you know to be true. Questions. Be careful of people who don't talk to you but continually question what you believe. And I find people like that very annoying, because they've got all these questions, and when you ask them a question, they ask you another question. Be careful of that. And that's the devil's number one favorite tool, is to question, trying to undermine what you know to be true. And what did Jesus say in verse 4? "And Jesus answered and said unto them, It is written." He got out the sword of the Spirit and he went into attack. He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." So Jesus says, "It is written." He says, "Every word of God." He gets out the sword of the Spirit. Now, also, be careful of people who try to limit the Word of God. People who like to ignore great passages of Scripture. We must be careful of people who try to limit the Word of God. I'm not looking for anything that is telling me less. I want the whole Word of God. I'm not looking for something that's telling me you can make it with less. I'm looking for the whole. And I'm not looking to try and find loopholes in the Word of God. I'm wanting everything. Be careful of people who try to limit the Word of God. Amen? So it goes on to say, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in that moment of the time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all this shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Everyone say, "It is written." He's got that offensive weapon. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, the devil tried to tempt Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, for it is written." Now, if Jesus uses the Word of God, who am I to think that I can do it without the Word? If Jesus himself used the Word of God, who am I to think that I can win the victory without the Word of God? In my own brain, in my own strength, in my own intellect. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of us are. We're trying to win it in our own strength, in our own brain. So then let's keep reading. Verse 9, Satan tempts him. He says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. And then here you go, verse 10. I hope you're reading it with me. The devil starts to try and use the word of God. He says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. So Satan tries to use it. Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan can quote the word of God, but because he's not submitted to it, it has no power. What I just said right then is critical. If you want the word of God to have power in your life, you must be submitted to the word of God. Any person can quote the word of God. Even Satan can quote the word of God. But because he is not submitted to the word of God, it has no power. We must submit ourselves to the word of God so that we can have this offensive weapon. We must be sold out to the word. Now, I want to read a few scriptures. They're up on the screen there. Let's get through our Bible, right? So get your swords out. Hopefully you've got your Bible there. Psalm chapter 1. Quickly, let me hear some pages turning. Psalm chapter 1. In fact, I might get some different people to read it. So, Brother Gabriel, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And then Sister Kate, I'll get you to read Psalm 119, verse 11, 116, and 133. It's up on the screen there in case you forget, the second one down. And Laura, are you right to read? Psalm 138, verse 2. All right. Sister Sue Saranos, can you read Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20? All right, let's see. Brother Vincent, can you read John chapter 8, verse 31? And Brother Rob, could you read John chapter 17, verse 17? Sister Jeanette, could you read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17? And then Sister Kelly, could you read Hebrews 4 and verse 12? All right, so let's work our way through. Who's the first? Brother Gabriel. Go ahead, turn around and read it out nice and loud.
NIV. Blessed is the man who does not walk in counsel of the wicked, or stand away from sin, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
Amen. So it says, the person who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night, they shall be like a tree planted by the water. A beautiful tree planted by the water. And then it says, but those that don't hold on to the word of God, they're going to be like chaff that gets blown away. So we've got to get a hold of the word of God. If you want to be like a tree planted by the water. Sister Kate, Psalm 119, verse 11.
Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you.
116.
Technical difficulties. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope.
According to your word, amen. 133.
Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me.
There you go. Direct my steps by your word. Now, some of us, if we're reading these scriptures, we ought to be getting so excited, just wanting to get home and start reading the Bible. You see, the word of God, the answers are in the word of God. We can find strength in the word of God. We can find direction in the word of God. It speaks to us. Amen. Sister Laura, 138 verse 2.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Now it's good. And just stop here for a sec. It's good to be able to go and say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's good. Shout Jesus' name. I believe in the power of Jesus' name. But we wouldn't even know about the name if it wasn't for the word. Amen. Sister Sue.
My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother.
Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. All right. John chapter 8, verse 31. Did Brother Vincent have that one?
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
If you continue in my word. If you want to be a disciple, a true Christian, you've got to continue in the word of God. John chapter 17 and verse 17.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth. If you want to expose the lies of the devil, then get out the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Wonderful. Sister Kelly.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Thank you. Wonderful. So the word of God, it is powerful. The one we just read, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says that all scripture, everybody say all. Not part, all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. Remember this. All scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If it's in the Bible, it fits somewhere. It fits somewhere. All scripture is profitable. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people, they like to have a buffet approach to it. You know, a buffet, when they put all the food out and you just take what you want. Well, you can't have that sort of approach with the Word of God, because all Scripture is profitable. We've got to have it all. We cannot just have part. So everything in the Bible, everything is either doctrine, is either reproof, is either correction or instruction. Every Scripture in the Bible is profitable. Everyone say profitable. And then Sister Kelly read Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says the Word of God is quick. It's alive. Everyone say alive. Your Bible should be treated like no other book. It's alive. We've got to have reverence for the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons we stand here to read the Word. It's because it's a reverence thing. Some people say it's an American thing. No, it's not an American thing. It's a reverence thing. In fact, you can read in the book of Ezra that they stood to read the Word of God. It is a reverence. It's a respect thing. So, make the Word of God part of your life. Now, the reason why we're touching on this today is because I believe that if we would get into the Word of God more, remember, just try it for 30 days. If we would get into the Word of God more, we would find that we would be living a victorious Christian life. Read our Bible 15 minutes a day. If you can read for 15 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible in 1 year. The whole Bible, 1 year. 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes. Everyone say 15 minutes. You can read the whole Bible in 1 year. Did I say one day? You can read the whole Bible once a year if you read it for 15 minutes a day. So where do I start? Proverbs. Proverbs has how many chapters? 31. The maximum number of days in a month are 31. So if you want to know where to start, then just start reading one proverb for each day of the month. So on April 1, you would read Proverbs 1. Okay, let's just make sure you got it. on April 2, you would read Proverbs chapter. And on April 3, you would read Proverbs. All right, and just keep doing that. You would be surprised how wise you will become from reading the Proverbs. Next slide there, Brother Morty. So here's some other things. Read the Bible systematically, not haphazardly. Now, I know sometimes people like to get the Bible and they open it up and they're like, okay, Lord, just show me the scripture. Okay, that's good sometimes. Sorry. But read it systematically. Work your way through the Bible. Finish the whole book. Finish the whole chapter. Read the scriptures in context. Use a Bible without notes. Some people like, and Bibles with notes are great, that you have all the explanation there, but use a Bible without notes. Those notes have been written by a man. Use a Bible without notes so God can speak to you through the Word. Read from just different translations. Now, some people, they'll have their King James and they'll have another translation. You read the King James and you can't quite get it, you can read a different translation. Read the Bible aloud, all right, quietly to yourself. Read it so you can focus. When you read it out loud, you get it a bit more. Underline or highlight. Now, I'm an underliner. I like to underline my Bible. If you look at my Bible, it's covered in colors and lines and here and there and everywhere. Underline it so that you can get the key verses for emphasis and get a reading plan. Now, in your bulletin, we've been having the devotions, and you would have noticed that there was a reading plan in there, how to read the Bible in a year. If you read those scriptures each week, you can read the whole Bible in a year. So there's some suggestions there. Start reading the Word. Everybody, start reading the Word. Start reading the Word. Start reading the Bible. I mean, it sounds so fundamental, but just start reading the Bible. On the first page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, you know, no fewer than 9 times it says, God said. God said, let there be light. God said, God said, God said. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let the waters... And God said, no fewer than 9 times on the first page of the Bible. There should be no doubt in our minds that it matters what God said. Because His words are spirit and they are life. This is more than just the best-selling and most popular book of all time. It is the living, breathing Word of God. It is quick and powerful, more than any two-edged sword. If you would just get your head and get your life back into the Word of God, you will see a change in your life. You will see a change. It's more than opinion. Our faith doesn't rest in the musings of a mortal mind. Our faith doesn't stand on experience. Our faith stands on the unchanging Word of God. Everything may change in this world, but the Word of God doesn't change. We've got to build our life on the Word. I come to tell you today, I believe the Bible. I read and I believe the Bible. My faith stands in the Word, in the inspired Word of God. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. Quickly read there. Sister Downs preached last Wednesday on prayer, prevailing prayer. Wonderful. Heard it was wonderful. So make sure you get that. We're going to talk about prayer in a second again. But here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. So the priests put the ark into the Solomon's temple. And the sacred symbol had been pillaged. The ark had been pillaged by heathen hands. They had taken out the rod that budded and everything else. And it says in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 8, it says there was nothing in the ark save the 2 tables of stone. Everything else, the pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, wasn't there. Only what was left was the 2 tables of stone, which Moses put in there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. The manna's gone. Aaron's rod that budded has gone. The only thing left behind was the tables of stone, seamlessly worthless rocks with some writing on them. But it was more than just writing. It was the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. And you see here, they didn't have the miraculous. They didn't have the provision of God. They had the Word of God only. And it says that the presence of God just came in. And it said they couldn't even stand to minister because of the cloud of the presence of God. There is power in the Word of God. There is power. So, it's an offensive weapon. Defense alone is not enough. You've got to get out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then, this whole series finishes off with this scripture. Praying always. Next there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There is no power like prayer. There is no power like prayer. We've talked about the armor of God, but prayer holds it all together. We've got to pray. Andrew Murray, a great writer on prayer, said, "Prayer is the only hope for reaching the world." Another man said, "Prayer is the bridge between panic and peace." If you begin to panic and start getting worried and anxious, then begin to pray, because prayer is the bridge between panic and peace. Now, standing before you today, I know that most people here are not happy about their prayer life. Maybe you go to bed and say, "Well, it's another day without prayer, another week without prayer." Many Christians feel inadequate about their prayer life. And the reason we become so distracted by so much stuff, other stuff, and we don't pray, when reality, prayer is what is needed most. I don't know about you, but I can share my own experience. When I get down to pray, everything that I had forgotten, I remember. Oh, that's right. Better check the letterbox. That's right. I got to call that person. Oh, that's right. Better pay the electricity bill. Anyone else have that? That's the devil coming to us with distractions. Why is it that when we go to pray that we get distracted? I mean, when you go to watch TV, you're not thinking about the other stuff, are you? You're not distracted. I mean, if you're an atheist, this ought to be the greatest example that there is a God. Because when you go to pray, the devil tries to stop you. It's true. How many people you haven't yawned all day, but when you start to pray, it's like, "Oh, Jesus." Suddenly the sleepiness hits you. You've got to pray. Everybody say, "We've got to pray." And so we feel inadequate. And I know we want to pray more, and we all wish we prayed more, and we are all very aware of our prayerlessness. So what do we do? What do we do if we want to pray more and we're aware of our prayerlessness? Well, just be honest to God. Say, "God, I confess my sin of a lack of prayer to you. I confess it to you, God." Embrace reality. Don't deny it. Just say, "God, I don't pray enough and I need your help. Help me." And then so once we embrace reality, then we can take a step forward. So if you find yourself distracted, there's many other things you can do. So pray regularly, have focused prayer, have a prayer book that you work your way through with all your prayer requests, have a certain time and a certain place to pray. What's more, if you find yourself distracted, this church is always open for people to come and pray. During the day, we can't have it open at night, but this church is open for prayer during the day. And there are many people, I see them come in and sit down in here. Even people from our community will come and pray in here. You're welcome to come and pray in the church. We've got to start somewhere. Everyone say, "Start somewhere." See, some people aren't happy unless they can start at the top. "Oh, I'm never going to be a prayer warrior." So you know what happens? They don't even pray. So, well, I'll never be able to pray half an hour, so they don't even pray 1 minute. You know what I mean? We're not happy to start something unless we can start at the top. It's like going, you know, with the gym. You know, you've just got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. So the devil knows that our greatest weapon is not evangelists. Greatest weapon are not pastors. Our greatest weapon is prayer. So when we begin to pray, hell's foundations are shaken. The only limit to prayer is how limited prayer is in our lives. So if prayer is limited in your life, then you're not going to see the fulfillment of your prayers. We've got to pray. Okay, so what are some other opportunities? You can come and pray in the church during the day. What about 10 a.m. on Sunday morning? Half an hour before service, we meet here for prayer. Here in this church, you can kneel at the altar, you can sit in your seat. Half an hour before service, we meet for prayer. What about 5:30 p.m. on Sunday nights? We meet here half an hour before the service for prayer. What about prayer and communion? We have once a month on a Friday night, we have prayer and communion. And some people, I'm sorry to say, I'm just being a pastor today. Some people haven't been to a prayer and communion service in years. Prayer and communion on Friday night. Some people have always got something more important on prayer night. Always. I mean, I understand sometimes there's going to be something that's come up and you're not going to be able to make it. But every single month of every single year for decades, my goodness, you must be so important. Or you just think you're at some spiritual level where you don't need to pray. But we need to pray. So we've got to start doing something. You know, let me say this. Really revelatory for you today. Really revelatory. I hope you're ready. All the Bible scholars, get your notepads out, because this is going to be really revelatory. You are not God. And you can't out-God God. I just pray that everybody could wake up in the morning, walk to the mirror, and look in the mirror and say, I am not God. You know, some people would start to do that. They might start to pray. Might start to read their Bible. Because they realize that they can't do it in their own strength. They are not God, and you can't out-God God. You're not going to do any better than God. So, you are not God. It says in Romans 12, verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Matthew chapter 7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Matthew chapter 26 verse 41 says, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue in prayer. Psalm 6 verse 9 says, the Lord hath heard my supplication, the Lord will receive my prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Luke 21, 36 says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So we've got to pray. The sword of the Spirit and prayer. This series that we've just done, Armed and Ready, if we would take it seriously and put on the armor of God, then you can live a victorious Christian life. You will not find yourself in the same old merry-go-round where you're just constantly just struggling to live the Christian life, feeling constantly defeated. We've been set up for victory. We've been set up to win. We've got to put on the armor of God. Let's stand. We've got to put on the armor of God. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is God's will that we apply the Word of God to our life. It is God's will that we read the Bible. Now, I pray today that somehow, through my preaching, that you have been inspired to get back to the Word of God. Start somewhere. Get back into the Word of God. I pray that somewhere, someone here has been inspired to get back to their prayer life. Get back to spending time in prayer. Prayers never die. Prayers never die. Turn to the person next to you and say, prayers never die. There are no tombstones of prayer. There are no tombstones of prayer. Prayers never die. And I am a testimony of that. I'm a testimony of that. Prayers never die. I had a father and a mother that interceded for me and prayed for me. You know, there were many times I could have turned away from the things of God. I could have walked away. So many times I felt tempted to walk away. So many times I felt distracted. I even had opportunities that seemed too good to turn down. So many things came into my life, but I had a mother and father who prayed for me. And even through the years, they might have not seen the results of their prayers and just seeing their son, you know, rebellious. But I tell you, prayers never die. There are no tombstones of prayer. It is God's will that we communicate with Him in prayer. We got to get back to prayer. And there is unnecessary defeat amongst us. Some of us are living defeated lives. Why? Not fighting, yes, but not using the armor of God that God has given us. We got to put on the whole armor of God. Let's just lift our hands as